Hey, everybody. Dennis Prager here with Otto. Is he up? What's his story?
He's
good. He's my man. And this is the Fireside Chat from my home every week. And I'll tell you, it is amazing, but even with the lockdown, I didn't miss a week. So this is very important to me. It is completely unrehearsed. And it's dangerous when you do that. You know, it's not scripted. This goes to a lot of people. I say what is on my mind, but there is a great virtue in this, in that you know it's the real deal. I'm just opening my heart and mind to you. So that's the Fireside Chat. I want to remind you that, what is this, about the 150th Fireside Chat or so? 139. Oh, up to 140. Okay. If you ever want to binge on good stuff, if you like this Fireside Chat, you will like number 1, number 39, number 15, number 106. They're all on really important stuff about life. I would love to talk to you, as I often have, about life generally and happiness and fulfillment. But we're living in such a crisis time, the greatest since World War II, and perhaps since the Civil War, internally since the Civil War, because we have the makings of a civil war. I pray it doesn't get violent, or more, let's put it this way, more violent. So obviously I address these issues a lot. Anyway, I just want you to know who is making this possible, the sponsor for this particular episode of the Fireside Chat. It's tough to make reading a priority for a lot of people because it's such a fast-paced world. So they have an organization. I know this because my son has joined, and I'm joining too. Thinker.org, but it's not with an E. It's Thinker, T-H-I-N-K-R.org. What they do is they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinker.org, T-H-I-N-K-R.org, to start a free trial and put your mind in motion. And then, by the way, sometimes you may want to read the whole book, but at least you get some of the key ideas and it's really helpful. So I want to offer you some thoughts on some of the things happening. The first and maybe most important, there is so much backwards in America today. It's quite alarming, actually. For example, I was raised a liberal, a Democrat, and the key idea with regard to race was that if you were morally progressive, you believed that the ideal, as Martin Luther King and others put it, is to be colorblind. In other words, you don't see color, you see the human being. We are not our color. We are our mind, our heart, our hopes, our experiences, our values, our personality, right? I mean, when you look in a mirror, when anyone looks into a mirror, do they see race or do they see themselves? You see yourself. Your first thought isn't, and then fill in the color. You see you, you're Tom or Felicia or, right? I mean, that's, isn't that how you want others to see you? So now we're told colorblind is racist. That's actually what is said. To be colorblind is to be racist. Another example of where both reason and religion are so important, and we live in a very anti-religious and anti-rational age. all of us who are in the Judeo-Christian world, Jew or Christian, we know that it is central, I mean central to our faith, that God made the human being and doesn't care about color. That is like central. We are created in God's image. God is not black. God is not white. God is not yellow. God is not red. Obviously, this is truly of monumental significance to understand that the whole ideal is that race slash color doesn't matter. And now we're told that if you think it doesn't matter, you're a racist. Do you understand how backwards that is? I'll give you another example of everything inverted. The liberal, as I grew up, and still hold these values, believed in racial integration, that you, not in racial segregation. And yet now we're supposed to celebrate all black dormitories at colleges and all black graduations at colleges. Should we celebrate all white dorms? Or all Asian dorms, or all anything dorms? The whole American ideal is e pluribus unum. It's one of the mottos of America, from many one. We're all American. Doesn't mean you deny your heritage. Not at all. I went to a Jewish day school from kindergarten through 12th grade. Half the day I studied in Hebrew. The other half I studied in English. I had a very deep grounding, and I thank God for it, in my Jewish heritage. But hey, I'm American. And we were told in this school we're American. We were told the ideal is a melting pot where we all join together to be American. It doesn't mean you stop being whatever else you might identify with. That's fine. But the whole experiment of America is all these races, all these ethnicities, all these nationalities, all these religions. We do have being American in common. Otherwise, the experiment fails and the country will fail. And it might fail. That's what I'm seeing. There is no guarantee that this phenomenal experiment in human freedom will prevail. I'm worried for America. I'm worried for my kids and my grandkids. You should be worried too. People destroy and burn down and loot, and you're not allowed to criticize them? You're a racist for saying looters are immoral? That it is wrong to steal? Again, I have this belief that God gave the Ten Commandments, and one of them is do not steal. It shows you the importance. People say, oh, I don't need religion to be good. Oh, really? You think people who believe God said do not steal looted any stores? Huh? I'll bet you everything I own that the looters hadn't gone to church and studied the Ten Commandments that Sunday. It's pretty important stuff. This is a literal conflict of civilizations that's going on in the United States right now. So colorblind is exactly the ideal. That is the moral ideal. That is the rational ideal. We are living in a sort of hysteria. I think I've covered this with you in the past, so you tell me if I have. I mean, this notion all whites are racist. Even putting white privilege aside, those are two separate issues. All whites are racist. Is so remarkable. When a white says all whites are racist, obviously that person is speaking about him or herself. Don't include me. I'm not a racist. Excuse me. The notion that everyone of a given race thinks identically, that's racist. And the amazing thing is people think, oh, I am so moral, I am a great person. I, too, am a racist. So you somehow are now a wonderful human being by publicly declaring you're a racist. If you're a racist, you should repent. But even if you repent, you'll still be called a racist. There's no allowance for even repentance. People who have... What about people who have devoted their lives to helping people in the inner city, let's say, Are they also racist? Was Mother Teresa a racist? She was a white European, spent her life in India helping the dying in Calcutta. If you don't know about Mother Teresa, it can only mean one thing. You went to college and you didn't learn anything, which is what I do believe, by the way. You not only don't learn anything in most colleges, I mean, you may learn physics or chemistry, I understand that, but about life and about history, but you, what you learn is usually backwards. One more thing, and this is really critical, this should be said every week, the slavery issue. Every society on earth in all of history had slavery. Every single one. Okay? The Europeans / Americans had slavery. The Arabs had slavery, massive slavery. The word for black person in Arabic is abid, which means slave. That's how common slavery was. Read about it. Islamic or Arab slavery. Slavery in Asia, obviously. Slavery in Black Africa. Black Africans had Black Africans as slaves. Indigenous Native Americans had slaves. Every society in history had slavery. So the only question that is honest is not who had slavery, it's who abolished slavery. That's the only important question. And then you come up with the answer, woo, people in the West, the Western civilization with its Judeo-Christian values abolished slavery. There was a Christian movement, now I'm a Jew telling you this, there was a Christian movement in Britain. Wilberforce was the man's name who led this movement, seeing that it was evil and it violated biblical principles. So that's the question. And you know how many Americans died to end slavery? That was, the Civil War was about slavery. It's one of the only things left and right agree. It was caused by slavery. Southern states wanted to maintain slavery. Northern states wanted to abolish it. So the Southern states seceded, and that's how you got the Civil War. And when it ended, slavery was abolished. That's pretty powerful. Abraham Lincoln was regarded, until this very morally perverse present, as one of the greatest humans that we've ever produced. And now every statue was taken down. Washington and Jefferson had slaves, so therefore what? Who didn't have slaves in the 18th century? This was the common thing. But they made a country that abolished slavery. And here's one statistic before I go to your questions. Here's a statistic you should know. In the entire course of slavery to the United States, do you know how many slaves came from Africa in the transatlantic slave trade to the United States? 306,000. That is the most accurate statistic that we have. 6 million went to Brazil, but 300,000 came to the United States. This is from Henry Louis Gates, who was one of probably the best-known black historian. He's at Harvard, and he cites this statistic. It's easily found, but I'll put it up at my website just so that you'll have it. Now, here's another little statistic for you. Do you know how many black Africans have come to the United States in the last 50 years voluntarily as immigrants? Not involuntarily as slaves, but voluntarily as immigrants? 2 million. So 2 million came voluntarily from Africa. 300,000 came as slaves. I think it's an important little thing to know how America has changed and how it is now a desirable place for black Africans to move to. Now, do you think these people are stupid? If America is systemically racist, why would black Africans want to move here in the millions? In the millions. 2 million came here legally. You know how many would like to come here? We don't allow everybody on earth to come to the United States. But let's say we just said, anybody who wants to come, come. There'd be another 10 million Africans who would come to the United States because they know how well everybody is treated. That's a fact. I guess a real racist would go to Africa and say, you shouldn't come to the United States. After all, it's systemically racist. How come? Why didn't they get the message? Okay. Colorblind. That's the ideal, the human ideal. A first video question come in, please. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Savannah Cutts. I'm 16 years old, and I live in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and I'm a member of Prager Force. My question today is, what is the best way to debate or discuss topics such as racism with somebody who has the victim mentality?
Thank you so much for the question. There is no way. I have a sad answer. In my book on happiness, which I wrote over 20 years ago, and it's still in print, called Happiness is a Serious Problem, has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with race. But there is a chapter in my book on happiness. I have the first half is obstacles to happiness, and the second half of the book is solutions. Under obstacles, I have what I list is perhaps the single biggest obstacle to ever being a happy person, thinking yourself a victim. The victim mentality is the most destructive of all mentalities to the individual and to others. It's destructive to the individual because you cannot be happy. If you cannot be happy, there's a whole host of bad things happens from that. Unhappy people do a lot of damage to the world. Happy people do not. Is that fair to say? Happy people don't riot, just as an example. Happy people don't lynch. Happy people don't torture. Happy people don't mass murder. Happy people don't join the Nazis or communists. That's why I'm a big fan of happiness, because it has a big moral impact, happiness. The victim mentality, individually or collectively, creates terrible evil. That's why I'm worried in America today, because of a mass victim mentality that is being almost like awarded to, but it's really paralyzing and destructive to people of color. Does that mean that there are no real victims? Of course there are real victims. But it's terrible to have a victim mentality. Anyway, who can't have a victim mentality? How many people don't have any issues with their parents? So many people have been hurt in their family life. Family life is very complex. Some people are blessed with a wonderful and loving and healthy family. Most people are not. If you walk around with a victim mentality, ask any therapist. You'll never heal. And you will lash out in anger at others. Most of the time, people with victim mentalities think they can hurt other people because, hey, I'm a victim. So regular rules don't apply to me. So you're debating. Your question was, how do you speak to someone with a victim mentality? I'm not sure there's an answer to that question. Because the only way to talk with anyone is if you both share a commitment to truth and reason. And if psychological things block the commitment to truth and reason, you're wasting your time. And I say this with sadness, but I'm not going to give you false hope. A victim mentality. You know, 6 million Jews were slaughtered in Europe during World War II by the Nazis. Two out of every three Jews in Europe was shot, frozen, tortured, or gassed to death. Two out of every three, 9 out of every 10 children. And interestingly, the Jews who lost their whole families in this hell, they didn't walk around generally with a victim mentality. They knew that's just destructive. And I have to say, I admire them. They just said, I have to build a life now. Man who lost members of his family, Viktor Frankl, wrote one of the, after the Bible, this is the book that has most influenced me, Man's Search for Meaning. I discussed the book with Michael Knowles on our book, what is it called? The Book Club at PragerU. You can watch it. He was in a Nazi death camp. Somehow he survived. His beloved wife did not. He loved her. She was the reason he survived. Looking forward to seeing her again. And he came out and he was asked right afterwards, it's in his book, do you hate the German race? That's the way the question was put. And he said, there are only two races, the race of the decent and the race of the indecent. That became the motto of my life. That's how I knew I could never be a racist. Because the only division that I make in the world is between decent and indecent. Not black and white or yellow and red or anything like that. Let's see here. Oh, David, Garland, Texas. Must we abolish all Confederate memories, dishonor and honor? Do we really believe we are better than our forefathers? Have we lost all humility, brokenness, understanding of our humanity, our depravity, our need for corporate and personal grace? Lord, we have sinned like our ancestors, Psalm 106:6. People want to make it a simple issue, the Confederate symbols, and it's a complex issue. There's no question that it represents something terrible. The Confederacy was terrible. It existed in order to preserve an evil called slavery. Of that, that is simple. So what makes the question at all complex? What makes it complex is that the people who wave the flag today are not waving a pro-slavery flag. They're waving a Southern consciousness flag. That's all it is to these people. I'm not talking about Ku Klux Klanners or the handful of true white supremacists who exist. If they wave it, that's for evil. But the average person in the South isn't waving it because they're nostalgic for slavery. It's so I know what's in their heart, and I know that they don't mean it that way. But I totally understand if a black looks at it and says, you know, that just means to me slavery. That's why I say it's complex. Person A doesn't mean it as slavery. Person B understands it solely as slavery. And they're both true to themselves. So I'm not a fan of the flag, but I am not angry at Southerners who have some Southern sense, which is all it's about. It's not about slavery. I would not tear down statues of Robert E. Lee. I understand the arguments for removing them. I'll give you an example. There is a statue in New York City for, I believe there is, should still be there, of Peter Stuyvesant, the first governor of New York City. He was Dutch because it belonged to the Dutch at the time. Everybody knows he was an anti-Semite. I don't want his statue taken down. If we take down everything that represents the past, then we have no past. Let people learn the truth about Robert E. Lee and about the Confederacy. That's fine. But the statue isn't celebrating slavery. People say it is, and it's so funny because these are the people who say, oh, we see nuances in life. Conservatives, they see black and white. God, is that not true? Anyway, that's the way it is. Anyway, the president was right when he said, then they're going to take down Washington and Jefferson. And I remember the New York Times laughed at the president. What, they're going to go for Washington and Jefferson? Yes, they're going. University of Missouri, I think 1,000 students or so want to take down a sculpture of Thomas Jefferson. So who was good in the past? You don't judge people of the past by our standards. You judge people in the past by the standards of their day. That's the way it works. Jefferson made the freest country in the world, and the country that was that ultimately became good for vast numbers of blacks. Read Out of America by a black journalist, Keith Richburg, Washington Post journalist stationed in Africa, and wrote about how he came to appreciate that he was a black in America and not Africa. That should be on the reading list too. The whole reading list is about how America is racist. You never hear from blacks who are thankful that they're in America. Right? Just from the angry. What's our time frame?
26.
I always ask you what the 26 or 27 times. Rose, 27, in Arkansas, large groups of people at my place of employment are kneeling for photos for the BLM movement. My problem is that I do not want to kneel. I do not believe our country suffers from systemic racism. My question is, what if I am the only one not kneeling? I am nervous about getting fired. We never had this in American history, ever, that I know of anyway. That people, if you didn't agree with people, you were fired. This mob mentality is the most dangerous mentality that we have had in American history. There is nothing like it in the past. That you fear, and properly so, that if you don't kneel, you will be fired. Americans were never known as being sheep. This is why I've said all of my adult life, everything the left touches, it destroys. It's destroying football, destroyed late night TV, it destroyed the arts, it's destroyed the universities, it's destroying the high schools, and now it's destroying America and freedom. Leftism, not liberalism. I admire liberalism. Leftism is pure chaos. It's nihilistic. That you would write me this question in the year 2020 in the United States, this shows you how we have gone backwards morally. People who believe that societies morally improve inevitably are so naive, they must have gotten a degree in college. There's no truth to that. Did Germany advance morally? Did Russia advance morally? Are we advancing morally? That you won't kneel? You fear getting fired? Wow. I'm not telling you, I can't tell you what to do. I am not in your position. I do believe that if I were in your position, I wouldn't kneel, only because I know me and I know I couldn't sleep that night. I have to be able to look myself in the mirror and say that I stand for what I stand for. But I am not judging you if you don't. I have an income. I have a good income. And I know what this might mean to you. But that you are even in this position shows you how evil the left is. It's evil. Get it? Liberals are not evil. Conservatives are not evil. The left is evil. It's always been. There is no exception in the history of the last 100 years. From Vladimir Lenin to today, this is a perfect example. We will ruin your life if you do not agree with us. Who else says that? Do conservatives say that? Do liberals say that? Do Jews say that? Do Christians say that? Think about that. We will ruin your life if you do not agree with us. Only the left says that. Sorry to describe the darkness of the moment, but I never give people rose-colored views of life. Do I think we can prevail? There's only one way to prevail, by not giving in. That's the only way. Maybe football players all have to change their mind in one day, because they have to play with their teammates. But still, it's painful. Drew Brees one day says that not standing for the national anthem is disrespectful to the flag. And the next day he apologizes profusely for saying what is true. Look, the rarest of the traits in life, as I have often said, the rarest of the good traits is courage. Because there's a price often paid for being courageous. But as I said in my talk to you about being safe, the purpose of life is not to get through it. The purpose of life is to be honorable, courageous, and good. And it ain't easy. I wish it were. Okay, my friends, on behalf of Otto, I'm Dennis Prager. Thanks for being with me. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.